We need to not live in fear, bro. Like, that's really the key. That's what they want us to do, right? You know, there's the opposite end of what the maskers and everybody that's all caught up with the vaccines do. There's the other end of it where you wake up every day living in fear. You think they're coming to get you. You think all the stuff is going to happen. And, bro, it's like, look, we all got to prepare. We all got to be wary. You know, think about the future. Think about what you're going to do for your family, your friends, people that you know that are in the same boat as you. You know, I'm always planning, bro, like always. But at the same time, man, we can't live in fear. Like, yeah. God didn't put us on this earth to hate living.
Like, yeah, for sure.
At all. Like, you just can't do it, bro. And I think that's just something that, you know, you're talking about the album. That was important to me to, you know, put out positivity and, you know how I feel about spirituality and stuff. And that was important thread that kind of kept the album together too, because I feel like that, you know, folks out here talking about demons and all this stuff. Well, you know, there's an opposite end of it too. Again, people get so caught up in the negativity part of it. They don't understand that there's forces at work that are far greater than all that anyway, bro.
Yeah, they kind of just like, you know, neglect it because on accident, you know, like you said, you're so focused on all the negative that's happening. You're not actually seeing the light that might be right around you that you could easily spread to others and make everything a little easier for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, also, man, it's just surrounding yourself with people that are positive, too.
Definitely.
I mean, that's another thing, man. I mean, we could sit here all day and get caught up in. Sorry, man. I'm pulling up everything that we were talking about earlier today, too, man. You know, I like to have that stuff in front of me, too. But
I got the same thing, man. Don't even trip, man. And all my internet was all acting up right before. It seems like right every time I'm going to start, it's always a little Yankee.
honestly, man, I feel like every time we get on here, man, something happens, like something weird happens. Like, I swear, like a glitch or.
Well, remember we had that first one. The whole episode just like it kicked me off. I couldn't even like it didn't even allow me to save it or anything. And we weren't even getting that crazy. But I think that's when we first were talking about the inside job. Remember? And we're talking about like
exactly, you know, bro. Yes. And then, we were talking about the whole show. And
yeah,
we were just breaking down, like, you know, how, you know, really how that show they're showing you what's going on. It's kind of that whole game that they do where they put things in your face that they're doing to you, and they make it a joke and a laugh. It's kind of like all the New World Order stuff that's, you know, coming out. Like Biden came out and said New World Order. I mean, it's not the first time he said it, but you know. It's kind of, they just do it to just fuck with us, man. I mean, really.
Well, it's like super normalized. You know. I was just watching Jesse Waters. Like, I flipped through all kinds of different stations. I was on Fox for a little bit. I always keep it for a little bit. And it was stupid Jesse Waters. I really can't stand Jesse Waters. But he was talking about, right. Oh, so this is going to be the new world order. So I'm like, to me, it felt like they're really trying to make it stick and trying to normalize it to where it's just, oh, another new world order, man. You know how it goes. They're always trying to do the new world order. It's all right. You know how it goes. Like, I think it normalizes it to people see a lot of this stuff. And that's what, like, you know how we always talk about not just shows and breakdown, and I try to break down propaganda. That's why you know, you wanted to hop on here, and I was like, well, we were talking about what should we talk about, and then we were just talking about like false flags, false pretenses, right? Like right now with what's going on in Ukraine and Russia, you could see these false pretenses right there in front of our eyes that may happen, may or not happen. And it's tough to tell because obviously both sides are lying. Like all sides around, there is no straight answer because everything has to be connected because we're all nationalists, you know, so they have to feed into whatever nation you are in, and they can't just automatically globalize it. So I wanted to start with the
go ahead. Well, I was gonna say, just to that note too, man, and I can remember who I was talking to the other day about it. I was like, man, just look at it from a basic level of not the rabbit holes we go down, but let's just say face value, like I'm looking at the war over there, right? Well, Russia let Ukraine leave, you know, right? Under the pretense that they wouldn't join NATO.
Yeah.
So they leave, then they try to join NATO. So Russia just came back in and was like, nah, whatever. Again, we know there's far more going on in that. I just mean from just a basic level of where people are all like touting these Ukraine flags and all this stuff, and they don't even understand just the basic like threads that put that together to where really Ukraine was in the wrong. Like,
oh, definitely. Well, us, it was really us, the U.S. causing that coup, you know what I mean? When we stirred up and started that coup, and then like it was even like broadcasted with Victoria Nuland, you know, her yapping at the mouth, and Crimea wants to be Russia. Like, they voted on it in 96. It was a 90% turnout. 96% of the people said, hey, we want to be part of Russia. And then the West, you know, like that counter narrative where they have to have the bad guys, you know, and they had to put Russia as the bad guy. And they were like, oh, Crimea. Yeah, well, they invaded it. And that in actuality, Russia, they were like, please come here because we don't trust what's going on right now. It's total chaos. There's a lot of, there is Nazis in Ukraine. It's not a false thing, you know, like there is actual Nazis for a long time. Even McCain was all buddy buddies with them and stuff like that. So it's not like that's the tough part. Like the tough part that I've been trying to layer through. And that's why I wanted to talk about a lot of the false flags and stuff. Cause I think like we get too stuck on like, you know, oh, well, this is the bad guy. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're 100% right that Ukraine is not, I'm not telling you their whole government's completely screwed 100%, and that's completely corrupt. But let's not play the other guy as a good guy, because there's a lot of attachments to people where they have connections, and they have to play their part and orchestrate their moves to get things done. And I think now that we're getting to that level of peeling layers off the onion to where we're like, hey, yeah, this is one layer, but there's like six more.
Well, and see, that's the other part of it, right? So you got like the far right, you know, that go down that rabbit hole of like somehow Putin's a god, like he's really trying to stop the new world order and all this stuff. Like, bro, like you're really not seeing what's going on. You gotta go even deeper. You gotta understand that they're all puppets in this game that they're all concocting. It's not a, you know, you and I had our last podcast where we really went in on Q and we were talking about Trump, and it's the same it's the same thing, man. There's no savior. Like, these guys aren't saviors. They create saviors for you. So they create a disaster to have a savior to save it. Like, and I think I may have said this on the last podcast with you where I was talking about Trump. It won't surprise me at all if Trump gets back in office at all. Sure. And it won't surprise me if he gets in and he is the savior for everything that's going on. And man, I'm telling you right now, these folks are going to love it. They're going to go crazy. Oh, Trump's back in. I told you all the cues. They're going to go nuts. But what they don't understand is, man, this is just, it's just a situation that they've created for you, man. Let's not forget about Trump's ties with the Zionists. Let's not forget about all of these ties that they all have. I mean, Putin as well. Like, they all have these ties with these organizations and these people. When you dig deep enough, man, they're all connected, man. You don't get into power like that if you're not connected.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't care what they say about Putin being a gangster. Like, yeah, he's a gangster, but he also knows the game very well, and he knows how to play it very well, and he knows his part. He knows his part in this whole thing.
Yeah, and then just looking through history, you know, history tells you the same thing. Like, in history, if you really study history, then you know not to trust any government. That's plain off, just simple. Like, no government can be trusted. Like, the people are the only saviors.
My bad.
No, yeah, no, I'm just saying.
You were talking about false flags. Yeah, you were talking about false flags, and, you know, some of the stuff that you'd sent over to me, some of it I knew.
Sure.
And, you know, some of it was a refresher as well. But a lot, funny that you sent it, a lot of it pumped out of Hitler. And it's, you know, we were talking about these rabbit holes people go down. There's this entrapment within the truther community that thinks Hitler was good, that thinks Hitler was battling like this new world order or whatever. And it's like, man, like, you don't see it for what it is. Like, they're all playing their part. It's actors on a stage. They know what part they're playing. They've got
knowingly
their own
or
needs
unknowingly
and
as well. Knowingly and unknowingly.
I love that. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think there's definitely guys that get into certain level of power that don't know they're getting played too, in right into the hands of what these guys want. So you got that going on too. I absolutely believe that. But Hitler had his own agendas, man. He was super deep into the occult. He was hunting down a lot of artifacts. He was deep into, and that's my vein. I get deep into Nephilim and all that stuff, fallen angels. But he was all about that. Like, his whole like mind frame was to gain like supernatural power. So, you know, he had his own agenda, but yet he played the part that he needed to play within the currents of the government. He knew what he was doing, man. He wasn't out there to save anybody. No. Like, he killed a lot of people. Let's not forget about that.
Yeah, and his conquest was for a lot of different things. And plus, I didn't even get to incorporate everything because there were so many. And, you know, I'm still in the penalty box. Only could do an hour. So there's stuff that Russia, there's false flags that Russia pulled off, like against the Chechnya, you know, in the Chechnya war. You know what I mean? There's like, this is how they Because the thing, the worst court is the court of public opinion. So when you have the whole world going, ooh, man, that guy's a bad dude. Why did he do it? Like, you have to have some kind of reasoning. No, no, no. I didn't just go in there and bomb the place. I bombed it because such, 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 and such. And then you fill in the blank. Hey, they did this. And that's where the whole idea of false flags come from. People come into these situations like, hey, I want to get more power. I need a power grab. What can I do? And that's why, like, I started with Hitler, the whole Reich stage fire, you know, 1933 in February. They burnt down a building. Germans burnt down a building claiming the fire was started by the Communist Party, their rivals, so that they can gain the rest of the power of their government. And from there, they go into another one. You know, they call it the false flag operation, justify invasion of Poland. On August 31st, his team of covert operatives infiltrated the area and ran up the stairs of the wooden radio tower. One of the Polish-speaking operatives quickly voiced a message through the intercom declaring the radio station had been captured. So basically, Germans acted and they had some Polish people, you know, like paid off, whatever, you know, part of the squad, whatever. Maybe they're, you know, just can speak Polish and they're part of their intelligence agencies. And they took over a radio station as if, hey, we invaded, we got the radio, we're going to, and then they had a gunfire and then the other people that were captured mysteriously vanished. But that is what kicked off World War II. That is what considered the invasion. So they were saying Poland invaded Germany now, that so it was okay for us to boom. So they got their justification, and that's what they're looking for. Everybody's looking for justification. What do we do in like 9/11, right? In 9/11, we
weapons
had
the of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you think about that whole debacle too, man, all the stuff that came out. And then now, you know, people are demanding that that information gets released, because I mean, here's the thing. We know what we did ourselves. Well, at least you and I do, and people that think like us, we know that this was an inside job. I mean, it was like, you know, it is what it is. It was there to start a war. You know, I'll go even deeper, man. I know some people are, you know, probably say I'm crazy, but I think, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the old movie Wag the Dog, but I think there's a lot of that goes on too, man. I think there's a lot of fake images, fake things that are put out to start these wars too. So I think it's in conjunction with these false flags. So you've got extra juice on top of it. You know what I mean? Think about it. The technology that we have when it comes to CGI and all that, that we see is great. Imagine what's really going on behind the scenes, the technology they actually have, the things that they can actually produce that make it look like certain things that are going on, especially when it comes to these wars, man. I'm not saying that people aren't dying. I'm not saying that people that don't go to war, let's not go that far. But I do want to say that people, when they go to war, think about it. They're contained to certain areas, right? Your battalion's contained to a certain area. You're only privy to what information is given to you by your commanding officers and in the area you're in. You have no idea what's really going on on the outside scope of it unless you're high up. So all this stuff's manufactured and controlled. So when you're talking about false flags and all that, yeah, it's all controlled because both sides have, you know, they're working together with other sides that you don't see. That's the whole thing, man. I mean, I used to joke all the time that like Trump and Biden were, you know, taking shots on a yacht, you know, after they were going at it during debates.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage style, you know, like these soap opera right in front of our eyes. And not even just to mention that, to go back to your point, like it's not only just fake stuff, CGI stuff. It's recycled shit. Edward Bernays, the father of propaganda, said, hey, recycle it, man. Use that thing from 20 years ago. You can, you know, maybe sharpen up the image depending on the times. But they use the same, and you see it right now. How many pictures have been, oh, that's really Syria from 2015. Oh, that's really Yemen. Oh, that's really, you can just see they recycle the same footage and same photo shots. So they put those.
It's like when we went to Mars, right?
Yeah. So like, not only can you do you, and then think about how cameras, you know, like you've done videos, right? And anybody that's done videos, you know how you can make something see. You are in control. The camera is now your vision, right? And you're giving your view to everybody. So definitely you can not only manipulate stuff, but I think that is giving them too much credit. I think really they're just lazy and they just have like a bunch of stock footage and stock photos and they just keep recycling them because we see them time and time again. Hey, that's why everybody goes, hey, remember that lady? Like, that's how come everybody recognizes it, and that's how they get caught because they're so sloppy because they have only like their data bank has not been updated.
Yeah, what about the one dude that's always showing up? He was in Ukraine too. Dude, I swear, didn't he drop the magazine on the AR he was holding too? And then he tried to like pull it back up.
Yeah.
That dude shows up, I swear to God, man, like every crisis. Like he's got to be the most popular crisis actor of all time. And somehow like the average populace just can't see it, man. They just are looking at it and they just don't process it the same way. You know, I guess it's somebody that's awake. But again, I can't fault them for that, man. They're just not awake.
Do you think there's like an award show for that? You know, like, hey, man, seven time champ.
seven time.
He's like, man, you know, I'm good at this shit. Like, people won't even be knowing. Hey, we know that. Hey, I had a difficult moment. The cliff fell out. I didn't know what to do. But like, I'll try to recover. is that the comeback story of the year? He's going to come back to the next one.
Yeah, because he's been out for a while and he came back. They thought he was too old, but yeah, he came back and he said, look, y'all, like I can still act.
I was down in the fourth quarter. I know everybody thought that I was a fake actor, but I think I really got him on that little move with the – nah, for real. Like, I know that a lot of these – there is a lot of the same ones, and I think because it's too hard to let these, because it's not everything, not everybody's in on everything. You know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff that people you know, they can see, like say they see someone super motivated or super like really dominant, and they can use their polarizing figure against them and without them even knowing, you know, that they're creating, they're like, oh, perfect. This guy would be perfect. Let's get this guy in because this will rally these people up. And we already got this side rallied up. And to me, that's why it's really good to follow like a lot of the CIA and stuff like what they do. If you see all the coups that have been started around the world, that's all been started by like, hey, look, radicalizing two sides. You go, hey, don't you hate, man, Wednesdays? They're like, man, I fucking hate Wednesdays. And then they go to the other side, I'm like, man, Wednesday's the best one. That's when we have the holy day. Yeah, man, holy. And then boom, clash. You know what I mean? That's a simplistic version of what happens, but they usually do it off of religion and political views, you know, or race. Race is a big one too, or nationality, because they find a common enemy. I used to do that when I was a supervisor at some places, you know? You're like, hey, let's talk shit on this one dickhead manager and make him the enemy. Now everybody's on my side, right? Like, I have the whole group of guys like, yeah, you're right, he is a dick, die, fuck him. Like, now I have an army of people ready to do, even though like I might be exaggerating or sometimes people flat out lying, you know what I mean, just to get people on their side.
Oh, absolutely, man. That's a good analogy too, like workplace. That's just a small scope of like kind of how your socioeconomics work in a bigger sphere of the globe. Because again, man, everybody's not in on everything. And I think that's the part that a lot of people down the rabbit hole don't really understand. There's a lot of pawns, a lot of puppets. A lot of the people that you think are in control are just puppets, man. I mean, when you're looking at some of these upper tier guys, like Soros and Gates, they're still puppets, man. They're not your top level, man. They're not like your Orsinis and Rothschilds and all them, man. You know, you got levels upon levels. So you got levels that you don't even see, man. You know, I think I've said it here before, but I mean, there are trillionaires on this earth, man. They're never going to put themselves out there like that, though, man. They got family wealth for generations and generations.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's just that they're so above everything, or their superiority is just like, that's not what they do. We're just plebs. We're commoners. You know what I mean? That they don't even feel the need, unless it was something so... like, you know, it'd have to get really bad, like,
absolutely,
for them to be like, no, I didn't.
Right. No, I totally agree with that, too, man. I think, like I said, the people that are in power, you're not really going to see a lot of, or you're going to hear it in whispers. It's not going to be your, you know, Gates, all them, man, they're put there, they're manufactured there for you to see. They're to give you an evil villain. You know what I mean? Sure. Like Klaus Schwab, like he's the guy they put out there because he's easy to, like, hate. I mean, look at him. I mean, he literally is ripped out of a movie. Like, he looks like the evil villain that you imagine in your mind. He talks like him. Yeah, he's got some level of power, but he's really just a puppet, man, they put out there to take on that heat as well.
Yeah, because you have so many people that are like out there to just kind of like put these thoughts into the world. And I think they're just kind of gauging it because I don't think humans are so unpredictable. And to assume they're going to go into one direction or the other, that's why maybe they have their hand in all kinds of seeds, because it does trip me out. Like Tulsi Gabbard's a young global leader, right? And Justin Trudeau, which you would not think. You know, they kind of talk different, but then if you really listen sometimes, after I found that out, I started really listening to Tulsi, and I was like, yeah, she's, you know what she's turning into me? I think she's trying to become a Republican that's like, no, no, but I was a Democrat, and kind of bridge this gap. And maybe these people are like all athletes, right? Like, you know, hey, Tulsi, you were drafted 19th. Trudeau, you're drafted number one. So he's doing his game plan his way, and all suddenly she found a different way to get control, right? Maybe she's like, oh, I could connect these two bridges. And now I can get these people to trust me and get these people to trust me and kind of say, hey, I've been on both sides, you know, because it was weird because she was kind of like promoting the lockdowns and promoting the masks a little bit and pumping a lot of the fear. She wasn't like, hey, check these VARS databases. You know what I mean? She's like, hey, check out. No, she was right. She was pushing the at same. She just did it her way with her character. And I think that's the thing that we have to remember. These people are characters, and not even to take anything away from them, unless you personally know them. You personally know them and I could personally talk to them, then maybe that would change my mind. But from a distance, I have to think that way.
Well, you got to think their whole lives are manufactured, right? It's just like actors in movies or actresses in movies, man, their lives are manufactured. You have to start looking at, you know, their pregnancies are manufactured, their, you know, who they're with. It goes the same way in politics. It's the same way. Like the people that they're with, the people they date, it's probably not who they're really dating or who they're really with. All this stuff's manufactured. They have to do it because they need people to talk about stuff, right? It needs to be able to keep your eyes off of what's really going on. So as many sleight of hands as they can put out in front of you, I mean, you and I can get caught up in it too, because sure, we're getting caught up in like catching the sleight of hand. So before you know it, we're getting caught up in the hand movements and trying to catch that sleight.
And you're like, oh, whoa,
they're moving something over here.
Yeah, I totally agree that, and that's why sometimes I back up and I go, all right, you know. And that doesn't mean the first I may jump the gun, but I do now try to. Even big headlines, when the whole Ukraine Russia, I was like, ah, give me a little bit. You know what I mean? I know what I kind of know. I got to go back and look, because there's no way we could retain all this information. There is so much information. Like some of these false flags, like this false flag was one that I wasn't really too aware of. I kind of heard about it. It was called the Levon Affair.
Levon Affair.
Yeah, the Levon Affair with the Israeli military intelligence in 1954. They bombed I think an embassy in Egypt, right? A U.S. embassy in Egypt or something like that.
Yep, it was in Egypt.
And they try to make it look like the Egyptians did it, the Egyptian Jews or something like that, right?
Yep.
And then the only reason they caught them is because like one of the bombs delayed bomb, and the guy didn't get away. So they were able to identify him, and it was proven. So this is 1954. The only thing that has really changed, the reason like this one, and like I said, this is not a false flag attack that's talked about very much at all. You know what I mean? This is something that I was like, oh yeah, I do kind of briefly. I heard a couple podcasters talking about it, like, and I kind of didn't know what they were talking about. And then when I started reading about it more, I was like, wow, this is the same thing that's been going on, you know. Then it just switched it to like, you know, ISIS did it, or this was Al Qaeda, this was blah blah, you know, fill in the blank. And then this is, you know, you fast forward to like, I was like, how George Bush was joking, hey, weapons of mass destruction, where are you? Why was he joking about it? Because there was no weapons of mass destruction. It was a premise to get us to go to Iraq. So first we had 9/11. So they were like, all right, we can go to, because there were seven countries. Remember, there's seven countries they wanted to invade. The last one is Iran, I believe. And that's why I'm still think it's on the table. That's just, I just kind of have a feeling. And then I kind of feel like this Russia-Ukraine conflict is somehow going to give us an Iran proxy war. I could be totally wrong, but that's just my feeling. And the seven countries.
Well, it's going to end up in the Middle East at some point. Yeah. Like, it's going to end up. It's going to go down. And we already know, like, Iran's been on the target radar for a long time. And, you know, that's what you do, though, right? You start something here, and then you expand it. You trickle it. Because all they're going to do is try to get people, you know, even just the average, like, schmoes that are running around with their Ukraine flags. Oh my God, it just makes me sick. Anyway, like it's almost mind blowing, man. I you know, I drove the other day, I was driving to work, and I saw this like billboard. It was one of those flashing billboards, right?
Yeah, I seen one.
It'll change.
Does it say unite?
I mean, all it said was like, we stand. Yeah, United with Ukraine. You're in Michigan.
Yeah. I'm in Michigan.
You're a state over from me because I'm in Ohio.
Probably similar stuff. Yeah, because it was like yellow and blue. And like the thing is, like I even say, like, yeah, of course I got mad love for Ukraine. Of course there's regular Ukrainian people that probably know that there's this corruption and conspiracy going on. Mm-hmm. But like you can tell that, just like you said earlier, looking at the surface level, if you don't even get the connections, if you don't even add any of that up, you're just like, look, man, Crimea wanted to be Russia. 96% mm-hmm. of the people voted out of 90. They had a 90% turnout. That's that. And to say that that's showing us the propaganda is real, because then we went in there and go, oh, no, man, they're invading Crimea. And we're like, no, they aren't. And then reason why is because of that whole fiasco of what was it like? Was that 2013 when they had like the whole like little riot? Like, remember they had the peaceful protests after the coup, after they ran the president out of town?
I think it was around that time, 13 or 14.
Somewhere around there. And the same thing that happened with the BLM protest, same thing that was kind of like happened at the January 6th stuff. What? They had paid provocateurs in there with the peaceful people to rile everything up. Because what happens is you get 24 people in there. They start riling people up. They start throwing rocks. They start hitting cops. The cops hits one of them. The cop accidentally hits one of the person that has nothing to do with it. And then chaos ensues. Because that's how quick chaos can happen. If you've ever been to a house party when you're young and you see one fist fly, the next thing you know, it's a big old brawl, right? Because nobody knows who's
easy.
It's because nobody knows who's against who. And that's what happens. And in that scenario, you have a line, right? You're like, well, all these people are with me. All these people, you know, in the cop gear, you're like, are against me. That's the state. And they get these provocateurs who are also, you know, these what are they called, like what's that stupid thing that we said earlier, the awards for people that are always in these events?
You talk about crisis actors.
Yeah, crisis actors. They're part of that crew, you know what I mean? One's like a quarterback, those are the offensive linemen or whatever, you know, those are the guys that start it all off, and they're in all, and same people in all these places. They ship them in.
And you think about January 6th, I mean, some of the guys that were busting up in there, you know, like, oh, the shaman, the god, he's paid actor all the way through and through. But all those guys, you know, they busted up in there. I mean, they were all actors, man. They're all paid. I mean, even the cop, you know, the black cop that was running back. They gave him all these awards. I'm like, come on, man. This was the most staged thing I've ever seen. Actually, most things that I see is so staged that I'm shocked other people don't see it. And I'm just like blown away. And then people are literally like, oh my God, did you see what happened? He almost died. And I'm like, man, you guys are just, God, I don't know what to say to some people anymore. It's just, it's that bad.
But that's why I think we go through history, right? Because right now we can't tell them the stuff that's happening right now because they're too emotionally invested. You're like,
I agree.
They're invested into this. So it's like, no, this is my identity right now. That's why I'm trying more to like dig through history, give them stuff like, be like, hey, you hate Republicans? Let me show you some stuff that Republicans did back in the days and they're still doing, and they're also Democrats now. You know what I mean? Like, let me show you what's going on.
Right.
That way you can kind of grasp people and show them. To me, that's why I think I focus on so much of saying, like, not to shit on any leader. Like, of course, I'm going to still vote. I'm trying to figure out a way. I don't totally believe in voting, but I think there could be a way. I'm going to always try and make things better. But I'm also want to tell people and convince them, like, hey, man, this is not what we can't fully believe just in the government. It's our job to be part of the government. Part of our job is to criticize them, is to push them and to rally other people to be like, hey, man, we don't like what you're doing. We're going to change it. It doesn't necessarily mean some kind of like, you know, oh, we're starting a revolution as far as like, you know, burning things down or fighting people, but letting people know we're on, we have our mindsets at the same place. You know, we're all, our eyes are on the same goal and we don't want war. And I think war, and I'm talking about no war in the Middle East. I'm talking about no war on drugs. I'm talking about no war on terror, no war on domestic terrorists. Like, all these wars need to stop, because I know they're funding everything, but we need to recreate the economy before they recreate it into this whole carbon economy. And it's going to be even more restrictions for us. So I think pointing to history is the best we can do. I mean, history is not totally accurate. There's so much stuff that we don't know, but at least the things that we can kind of concrete and that we can agree on kind of show people, you know, like, so those ones that we're talking about, Gulf of Tonkin. Gulf of Tonkin's a very famous one, 1964, kind of started, pretty much started the Vietnam War, where there was torpedoes being shot at by supposed Vietnamese
USS Maddox.
Yeah, the USS Maddox. They were supposedly like coming from the Vietnamese, but what turned out later to be that the sonar guys were hearing the wrong things and there was no attack, but it was too late. It already was pushed out there. It was time to go. And that's what kicked off Vietnam, like a 20-year war. That was the 70s Afghanistan. It was horrible. We lost that war. We lost a lot of good men for nothing, really, in the name of stopping communism.
Yeah, and a lot of those words they throw around, like communism and, you know, Nazi and all that stuff, man, these are just manufactured things that people have come up with because you got to have sides, right? And, you know, I'm a big proponent of the only sides that are good and evil, right? There's no other sides. You either are with good or you're with evil. The rest of it's just manufactured and created to make us hate each other. So you got somebody that does something you don't like, you automatically hate them, but it's easy because now you have a label. You know, you can call them a libtard, mm-hmm. or you can call them a dumb Republican, or whatever. You can identify them. You can identify them. You know what I mean? And so then you start identifying people by how they look, because you think, well, most people that are like this look like that. You know, and that person you may run across and just automatically start hating. You know, they might not even think like that at all. They just look a certain way, just how they like to look. But it's easy, though, and they do that with words. I mean, it's simple, like you said. It's, you know, you put these boxes in, and think about it. Like, we can go back to the Cold War. We can go back to all these wars where, you know, you get people over here so hype. I mean, look at the people right now that are so hype, anti-Putin, ready to go to war with Russia. You know, you got all these old people that lived during that time when we fought Russia. So they get those old feelings, that nostalgia comes back. Matter of fact, I use the word nostalgia because I watched a South Park episode recently where he talked about the Russian nostalgia. Matter of fact, this season is pretty nuts. I can't even believe they're getting away with some of the stuff they're doing on there. But they talk about the Russian nostalgia with like that older generation where it's almost like they're happy that we're going to war or think we're going to war with Russia because it gives them something to feel.
Which is so crazy because we actually didn't really ever go to war with them. You know, when we were in a war, we were on the same side against the Nazis. So like, it's just so funny how these things are manufactured, because these people are kind of stuck. Like, I don't think it's necessarily the Russians. I think it's just in generally, like, it's ingrained in America that we're the peacekeepers. We're the good guys. Hey, the good guys are here. The G.I. Joes, like, you know, we go across the world and we keep the peace. We push democracy. We save democracy everywhere, you know, or make sure every country's corrupt as us and be able to rig elections and put puppets and oligarchs into power. You know what I mean? Like, it's baffling how so many people, like you said, sometimes it does get frustrating, and it's more frustrating to me, to the older people. Like, a 19-year-old, I don't blame them at all. A 25-year-old, but like sometimes, and I understand, I don't totally get mad at them. I understand that propaganda is strong and it can really get people lost in it. But to see all these things, I'm like, dude, Gulf of Tonkin, like the stuff that, you know, we were talking about what the Nazis did, some of the other false flags. You see what governments are capable of, but there's been this mystique around America that couldn't happen here. We don't do that. We're not that type of person, because they've made this image from the PR master, Edward Bernays himself, and people like him that were inspired by him to get us that we are the victors. We are the people that the saviors, that will help everybody. And that's what we do. That's why every time there's a crisis, we're the first one everybody looks to. Hey, there's an earthquake. Hey, guys, what are you guys going to do? Hey, there's a war going off over here. There's a famine going off over here. We will help you. We are the superior. This is what we do. Instead of, and then you look back at home, tons of homeless people, tons of, you know, broken homes, tons of bad education, you know, broken school systems, all these things that need to be fixed that are being neglected. But then it's still punched down our, you know, every now and then, hey, don't worry. And then I think that's what kind of got us to 9/11. You know what I mean? Because I think people were already fed up. They're like, all right, man, enough of this sweet talk, jazz stuff. Like, we're seeing that this shit's fucked up, right? And then we're not going to go to war. There's nothing that's going to accept being attacked. And, you know, it's mimicked of Pearl Harbor. And if you look exactly with the Operation Northwood, you know, how they were going to disguise planes and crash them and kill Americans just so under the pretense that we could go to war with Cuba. Sound kind of familiar? Because remember, they were mad that we were going to, that I think the Russians were going to put like arms in Cuba, right? Weren't they going to put missiles in Cuba? Right. And that was the whole ordeal.
That's what the story they were telling.
Story we were told. Yeah, exactly. And now, so they were willing to sacrifice human lives, American human lives, supposedly the ones they're supposed to protect the most, for what? To go to war. And then that's why so many people that had already been studying this stuff, and when they saw 9/11, they were like, oh man, no way. And then when you have, you know, everybody says it's conspiracy theorists, but especially if you've really dug through it, there's tons of scientists, architects, like, so many like smart people, like way more with more credibility than I ever will have. And they're saying there's no way that this could have happened. No way.
Right.
And then I think you get stuck with other people thinking that people are heroes when you hear stuff. Cause I even heard going through some of the false flags, like, you know, Donald Trump's like, no way that there's no way, you know, there must have been bombs on that plane or something. Cause, you know, it went down. But I would say, like they say, what, a broken clock's right twice a day. Right. And I think that's what they feed you with Putin's and stuff like that. Cause that's how the false flags work.
Right. And this whole Ukraine, Russia, debacle is fascinating to me. I'm watching kind of both sides of it. You know, I'm watching like the Alex Joneses kind of belly up to the Putins. I'm watching this kind of play out on this opposite end too, which is really weird to me. And then I'm watching the other end of it where everybody's just sycophanting all over Ukraine. And, you know, it's mind blowing, you know, but it is just a stage and it's just an act. And I think once you start getting to that point, and you dig a little bit and you do it for educational purposes and you try to figure it out, because you brought up a good point here 10 minutes ago and I wanted to speak on that a minute, but we were talking about education and we were talking about what we're taught, right? I mean, that's the tough thing, right? What have we been taught? What's really true? Because think about it, maybe to 100 years we know kind of what happened, really, you know what I mean? Maybe, you know, but we really don't. We don't know what happened 200 years ago. We don't know what happened 300 years ago. We only know what someone else told us. So we can get books and we can glean from those truths, but we really don't know what happened, because there are organizations, there are powerful people that have been put in place to control education. You look at the Rockefellers, man. I mean, they've done a masterful job of controlling health and education throughout the United States. And this is since 100 plus years ago that they have put a hold on all that. So really, what information are we not getting? You know what I mean? And we can go down the rabbit hole of dinosaur bones and giants and all this stuff that I love to get into. But there is a reason for that, because, man, there have been so many things that have been covered up across the globe. And we're talking wars. Sure. We're talking wars from, say, past 100 years ago. We don't know. We don't know about those wars. We don't know why they were started. We don't know who was involved. We don't know if they even happened. I mean, some of this stuff, it's tough to glean. And I think once you get to that state of awareness and awakeness is when you're like, okay, now I can really just try to like enjoy life. I can really see kind of what's going on, because it's so funny. I walk around, you know, just in my daily life, and I call it the clown pill. It's like you pop the clown pill because it's so funny. It's so ridiculous that you laugh, because everything just makes me laugh now. I don't even get mad a lot of times.
Yes,
like I just laugh because it's so obvious to me. But, you know, unless somebody's willing to want to be aware, want to be awake, you can't fault them for that either. And you and I have talked about multiple podcasts about planting seeds.
Yeah.
That's something I encourage people that are listening to this right now. It's not about shoving your truth down someone's throat. A, you might not know all the truth. There's that, because I don't know all the truth. I'm wrong a lot. Two, it's planting a seed with somebody and letting it grow. Sometimes you just walk away, hope that it grows. And then sometimes it does, and they come back and ask more questions. And then they're more ready to take on more things that you're saying, or at least go somewhere to someone that can help them or read something that can help them too. So I think in our position, that's kind of what we try to do with people, is just to wake them up, you know, by whatever means that we're capable of doing it, whether it's entertainment or podcast or whatever else. I think that's just important. And enjoy life. I encourage everybody to do that too.
Like, yeah, enjoy
don't
life
let and stuff like get you all.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, don't let it. Yeah, and I think more is like to instead of like I'm trying to start, instead of saying waking people up, like more promote mm-hmm. critical thinking. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, hey,
absolutely,
I don't have all the answers, and that's 100% sure. Do not, like, there's gonna be times I might say something for sure I'm gonna mess up people's names. That happens all the time. You know, that's the easy part. Like,
right.
Some of these names are too hard for me to say. I'm like, sure, but I'm not gonna get it right. And plus, like, my ideas will change. You know, like, they're not gonna, my concrete of who I am will never change. I'm always gonna be who I am. But, you know, I'm mm-hmm. gonna be like, oh, I didn't know that. Now I know this. The new information has arisen that is going to change my perspective. And that is what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to go, oh, I get this new information, I only believe this. I'm supposed to take every little bit of information I can get and try to build something right off of it. Like, there's no way any of us know everything. And the people that are out there are trying, like, and people, I think they mean well. Like, there's those mothers marches that were going all around the country mm-hmm. where people were trying to symbolize with, you know, plastic dolls, pretend as babies, signifying all the babies that have died in the war. And of course, mm-hmm. to get on your emotional strings. And the reason I point that out is because I think, like, one of the final false flags I want to talk about is, Nairi. You know who Nairi is? She testified in front of Congress to, like, really push for the, I'm probably saying that name wrong, see? You know what I mean? Push us into Desert Storm. She was a 15-year-old who said this. I have a little 30-second clip of her.
Yes,
and we finally call on Naira to testify.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Naira, and I just came out of Kuwait. While I was there, I saw the Iraqi soldiers come into the hospital with guns. They took the babies out of the incubators. Took the incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor. It was horrifying.
First of all, she wasn't even there. Yeah, crisis actor.
I remember this whole thing, man. I went on a deep rabbit hole with this one. And this was like one of the most classic false flags of all time, right? Yes. Here. This is probably like number one, honestly.
Yeah, that's why I saved it for last. I was like, to me, it's like, because it really got everybody, because it got stuck in the news cycle for a long time. And like everything, the first headline always grabs people's attention, but the truth is always a little, you know, oh yeah, let me redact this part. But by the time you get the truth out there, it doesn't get to everybody. They only heard the lie. And they're still promoting the lie, especially back then. Think about, more stuff was word of mouth. It wasn't spreading as, I mean, I know it can spread fast on social media, but it can still spread fast the truth. You know, and more people could kind of be aware of, like, oh, that was a lie. But no, everybody, they were tugging on, because they were saying that they were putting babies out of incubators and you know, just throwing them on the floor like they were nothing. And then she turns out to be I think he was a Kuwaiti, an embassy. I think it was a Kuwait embassy, like someone that was an ambassador. Yeah, some kind of diplomat. Yeah, and that was his daughter. And she had nothing to do with anything that was going on in Kuwait. She did not see that. But that lie got us into Desert Storm, and it didn't get us out. You know, once the leaving the weapons of mass destruction, that's when I kind of think ties for number one. You know, Lil Bush tried to beat his dad, because the weapons of mass destruction, they were joking about it. That's why I was playing that clip of him laughing. They were joking that, like, haha, where is it? There was none. And but they were able to go into the countries they wanted to go. Why didn't we go into the main country we should have went to? Saudi Arabia. You know what I mean? The one that had the most evidence. If you were looking on evidence-based, whether false flag or not, you would be like, oh, Saudi Arabia, all the people, the hijackers, they're from Saudi Arabia. We should go there. Ah, let's go to Afghanistan. Then from Afghanistan, we spin the whole weapons of mass destruction. Saddam's a bad guy. We need to get rid of him. And boom, he's gone. And then you see we hit almost all seven of those countries. And I think there's more false flags coming. I think
he's gone, but dead.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that someday.
Yeah. That's a whole nother. But I think the new false flag that's coming, and maybe will be from Russia, or maybe they'll wink, wink, and say it's from Iran, is going to be what Klaus Schwab, you know, was bragging about is
absolutely
the cyber pandemic. Yep.
Yeah, he's and I'm telling you, I'm a Schwab guy. I don't mean that in like I like him, but I do a lot of reading on him, and you know, I read a good bit of the Great Reset when he put it out. It was funny because a lot of people thought that was a conspiracy theory, and it was an actual book that he wrote, like on the onset of COVID-19. It's called COVID-19: The Great Reset. Man, I'm telling you, that book is just fascinating. For one, it'll make your stomach turn, the stuff he's talking about, because it's absolutely mind-blowing. He uses terms like, we are angry nodes, so we're going to react in a way that's going to make us want to protest. It's going to make us get violent. He plays into that fact. He plays into the fact that when they start taking things from us because they have to for climate, because climate's a big part of that book. That's what a lot of people don't know. The COVID-19 part is just kind of the onset, the start of what's going on. But you've got, he talks about cyber attacks a lot in that book too, a whole lot. So a lot of things, the three main components of that book are cyber attacks, COVID-19, or viruses, because he does explain that viruses, you know, you're going to have more. So it's not really just about COVID-19, he calls it that. So those are your components right there, your three components. So those three components are going to, and climate change, sorry. So your third piece. So those are the ones that they're just going to keep recycling, moving in and out. And they're just going to use different things. So then we have one virus one day, then another one. Then it's going to be a cyber attack. Then it's going to be, oh, well, you know what I mean? Climate. So we got to go ahead and got to get in your electric cars that you can't afford. So now you need to, you know, public transportation, but you can't publicly transportate because your ESG score is kind of low because you were tweeting something crazy last night. So you get dinged on that. So you can't go anywhere. So it's kind of like a whole filtration system that they're just going to keep moving until they filtrate all the people they don't want.
Yeah, definitely. I see that. And that's why I think to me, what I see, and I'm obviously looking more into it, like where, like, you know, not just what's happening with Ukraine and Russia right now, I'm looking at, what are they trying to do? What are they trying to accomplish? We know Ukraine is probably one of the biggest capitals of hacking, right? Hacking is what they do. Absolutely. And then with, I try to put it together with the connections of the WET, with Russia, with what's his name, Herman Grimf, and from the cyber bank, and a couple other stuff that they have. And I'm like, well, is this setting up some kind of cyber attack that either is going to be blamed on Russia? Maybe it's initially blamed on Russia and then finds out it was, Iran did this and that. But when it could definitely be coming right there from Ukraine, you know what I mean? Maybe that's what the strategic point is. Maybe there's something there, some infrastructure that they're trying to get. I mean, we could go into like some ancient stuff, but I'm talking about just on the surface level of what we see. And I think that that's what they're trying to push for. I think they're trying to change what war is. And right now, yeah, they're like, we see this bloody stuff, but I think it's going to change soon. And I don't know when the narrative is. It's going to push for cyber attacks to put more fear, and that's going to be the new terrorism. You know what I mean? That's the new terrorism, cyber terrorism.
It's going to be the thing you can't control, exactly. Right? Because they need to keep giving you things that you can't control. And to that point, back to positivity, control what you can't control. Mm. You know, do what you can to prepare yourself for the future, because, you know, we all need tools that are given to us, internet and all that, but also prepare for not having that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it might not be today that you get where you need to get to, but if you start building towards that process, you know, eventually you get to a place where you're self-sufficient. And I think that's kind of important now to start thinking about the future and how you're going to be self-sufficient, how you're going to protect your family. It's not about being scared. It's just about, you know, being smart at this point. But yeah, I do agree with you. I think cyber attacks, that's coming. I mean, Schwab's just laughing in our face. He did like a whole, man, he did a whole like presentation about it. I mean, this guy's been talking about it for what, 2 years?
Yeah.
And it's not that he's doing it to gas you up that it's not coming. He's just laughing at you. He knows it's coming and you just don't know where it's coming from. And I agree with you. I kind of like what you said, though. I think it's going to kind of start with the Russia thing, but then it's like, oh, actually it was, you know, they were bouncing off these servers and it was actually coming out of, like you said, Iran or something, where we go there and then we start this whole thing over again. So
because it's a lot of the same replays, you know, like that's what they were. You remember all the cyber attacks from Iran during the Obama administration. So I would assume that that replay is going to come back at some point.
I could see that. Absolutely.
But to go back to your point of like not just preparing, like what I say is like, cause, you know, preparing sounds like, you know, like you said, and it's not out of fear. I think it's more of just like finding your way of being your own free, like to be really free is like, hey, mm-hmm. as free as you can be. Like, is it, hey, maybe I should move to a more, you know, the government's everywhere, but how far can I get away from them? Get as far away from them and off their dependency as you can, if possible. You know, it's not easy. You know, it's not something that we can all just go, hey, if we could, we would all do it right now, right? We would just, if there was a button we could press or a plug to unpull, like if we could, right now, if Biden was on life support, I'm pretty sure the country would vote to, hey, pull the plug. Like, I'm pretty sure that would be unanimous. Like, well, maybe because
I don't know, though, man. Because
cackling Kamala, you know, the cackler.
Keep him on life support.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, man. We don't want her, man. Like, because she'd be just yakking away. And she's like, she sounds like a third grader that didn't study for the, you know, their test. And they're just like
it's so bad.
And Russia is a country that's in Russia right next to another country. You're like, dang, man. Jesus, like, just slow down.
I know, man. Yeah, I think if she gets in, you got Pelosi in there with her. Oh God, man. Like,
yeah, that does sound pretty bad.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, them on the mic would be like just a bunch of boomhauers talking. You would never understand what they were saying.
And then they would be like, "We told you the truth. You just couldn't understand it." Well, we're getting close to that time, man. So, like, got about like 8 minutes. I wanted you to just like kind of break down what we're gonna do Saturday, and like, you know, where people could catch you and the music that's coming out, and just fill everybody in.
Yeah, just if you can follow me here, because you'll catch a lot of info coming out of my Instagram. You can get the link tree too. So I've got a lot of places to go there. TikTok, man, I go crazy on TikTok. So if anybody's got a chance to go over there, man, I go nuts. They kind of, you know, let me. I've only been banned a couple times, so I'm doing all right. Like, you know, a couple of my posts have been blocked, but you know, I find a way around it. I know how to talk and make it at least satirical, or whatever, to where, you know, they don't really know what I'm talking about. At least people in the know do. This Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be on YouTube Live. You, me, Tony Merkel from The Confessionals, Mr. Gates from Haterazzi, Eric from Uncomfortable, he'll be on there too. Quan Duke, who I do a lot of stuff with, Van Tesla, we'll be all in there live. We'll be playing the whole album, as well as releasing the music video for Stockholm during that too, since it's off the album. We'll also be talking conspiracies and a lot of crazy stuff, so we'll be on there for a good little bit, having a good time. I think I got a good conglomerate of guys that have a lot of different ideas, but also have very singular minds when it comes to what we're going through in the world, so I think that's gonna be kind of cool too. So if everybody gets a chance, just follow me here. You'll get all the info out of here, and you go to the link tree. That'll get you to my YouTube channel. That'll get you to all the other places that you need to get to: Spotify, Apple Music, everything else. Also, Friday, speaking of, you know, cryptids and stuff, I actually have a group. I go into the woods and I go hunt down cryptids. So the world premiere of the Dogman documentary, Expedition Dogman. We went deep into the Kentucky Daniel Boone National Forest hunting down dog man. We saw some crazy stuff in there, man. I'm not even gonna lie to you. So it was pretty wild. And we're actually going in about 2 months to go to Skinwalker Ranch. So we'll be there for a few days too, shooting. So it's been pretty cool, man. Get invited to be part of this group. Documentary did real well on the VIP list. So I'm expecting good things coming out of this. Tony Merkel was actually on Temple Hat Podcast today.
Yeah, I was listening today
with Sam Tripoli. Yeah, he was just on there, so he was talking about it. Yeah, so yeah, it's going to be crazy, man. So we're pretty excited about how the documentary is going. So I got that going on, plus the music, you know, plus any podcast I jump on. Love working with you. You know, that's why I wanted the guys that, you know, really supported me and the Van Tesla movement when it came out the gate to be a part of it, and just, you know, enjoy the album, talk stuff we like to talk about too, just kind of open people's minds if we can a little bit. And again, just enjoy life, man.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll shoot all the link trees because we'll have this posted on Apple and Spotify probably after, honestly, after Saturday, because, you know, I got to edit myself. Yeah. It'll take a long time. But I'll have all the link trees and all the video out. We'll have the Stockholm video out on there by then. So we'll attach all that. But I'll shoot your link tree to my Telegram and post it up everywhere so we can start getting everybody, you know, to try to. I think it'll be nice to check out the documentary, check out the music on Saturday, the discussion of having a bunch of different minds. And then don't forget, you can check out us every week on Tuesdays, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And then you can see Apple, Spotify, every podcast platform. Also, check out my music, S-E-A-N-C-H-R-I-S. That's Sean Chris on all your music streaming sites. I got my newest single, They Want Your Freedom. And, you know, that's how we do it.
Which
here.
Which is dope.
Before we get out of here, though, cool, we play one of your jams, man. I was thinking we could sneak peek something on here. What would you want to sneak peek?
Let's go into that Stockholm one, man. I think people like to hear that.
All right, we're going to go out with Joel Thomas, Van Tesla, Stockholm. All right, y'all, you know how we do it here. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up. All right, we out. Peace.
I feel like a motherless child alone. From home, a long ways from
home. I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Yeah. Boost up positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I'm pissed them off the bat. Falcone deals, jungle full of predators. I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh shrubs. Call me private label, I be leaving breadcrumbs. I want all the smoke, cigarette stubs. I move in silence like Epstein in sex clubs. I just laying on the shit, big tech what? Yay, I'm counting the receipts, ooh. Like Orsini blackmailing the elites, ooh. I put a target on my head, ayy. Follows me like the shot to a chest, ayy, whoa. Man, it's like Stockholm, ayy. It's a war and we in foxholes, ayy. They moving on us like narcos, ayy. We up and down like stock quotes, ayy. Man, it's like Stockholm, ayy. It's a war and we in foxholes, ayy. They moving on us like narcos, ayy. We up and down like stock quotes.
I ain't home, but I'm on my way. You ain't alone, so you know you straight.
Every time her head spins, her body drops in Chicago. And half the country thinks the president's in Mar-a-Lago. I got A's for the Q's, them drops coming from the bottom. Got your mind rocky like Drago, ayy. Ain't worry about the devil in the Mago Day. They breaking down the borders of your mind, but you focus on the ones with the wise Jose's. Overload your RAM, Colorado State. I'm just here to help you uninstall it, woo. My words you wanna hang like Jussie Smollett, ooh. I ain't being hyperbolic. But we sold her. So complex with simple Rube Goldberg. But honestly, I started seeing light, letting go of hate, getting rid of salsa verde on my shoulders. No chips. Man, it's like Stockholm, ayy. It's a war and we in foxholes, ayy. They moving on us like narcos, ayy. We up and down like stock quotes, ayy. Man, it's like Stockholm, ayy. It's a war and we in foxholes, ayy. They moving on us like narcos, ayy. We up and down like stock quotes.
Hello to all conspiracy theorists overseas watching this. Please get a life. People who have nothing better to do than make up lies about us because their own lives are so small and so sad. And if anybody thinks that we are going to be distracted or intimidated by tinfoil hat wearing tossers singing in their parents' basements in Florida, then you do not know us territorians.